you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
All ministers and officials should now go to Case Orange. Repeat, this is an official colonial government broadcast.
Welcome to another episode of the Battlestar Galactic cast. My name is Mark Bernardin.
And I'm Trisha Helfer.
Hey, Trisha, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic.
It's been so long since I saw you.
Yeah,
I mean, minutes.
Kind of getting sick of you.
I know. I mean, I don't blame you. I'm sick of me. I'm the worst. But we are not here to talk about me and whatever fancy pants baloney that I could have to talk about. Okay.
Caesar's deciding to be active.
Caesar's
he was quiet
guest
last podcast, but now he's active now.
We are here to talk about unfinished business.
The extended cut.
The extended cut. And to do so, we are completing a bit of unfinished business in that we have not had this person on the podcast yet because he lives miles and miles and countries and oceans away. But he is in Los Angeles and he decided to drop by. Jamie Bamber's in the house!
Hello. Hello. I dropped by very late, so I apologize for that.
No, not at all. And Jamie brought the peanut gallery with him.
I didn't know I was doing that either. they literally pulled up behind me out of the darkness. We came from separate directions, I might add, so this is not in my...
Yes, yeah. I was aware.
Yeah, more than me.
Do you want to join? Do you want to say anything?
They must.
Hi, everybody. The Admiral here.
And his wife.
Who are you? You have character name on the show.
I have a character name. Lainey Ishe.
Is that my name? Is that how you pronounce it? I've forgotten.
Yeah. You haven't been on the third season, right?
Don't know. Was I?
Well, we're actually in the process of rewatching the whole thing with our children. Yeah. And we're up to, I think, season 2, episode around about 9. Something like that.
Do they like it?
Yeah, very much. Yeah, very, very much. Yeah, yeah.
That's cool. Awesome.
Yeah, because they're what?
I like it.
13 and 15 now? No.
15
and 16.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, because you were pregnant when we were shooting the miniseries.
The miniseries was Isla.
All of them were
born.
And
then the Callises had a baby. And then we had twins. And then the Callises had another baby. And so we
gave birth. It's the Brits that were procreating. Yeah. I don't think any of the rest of us had babies during it, did we?
Nope. No, not during it. AJ's since had a few, I think.
And Leah.
Yes.
Yes.
Who else?
Luciana.
Is she?
Yes.
Okay, sorry.
Or is that her niece?
Anyway.
I don't know.
Anyway, yeah. But we are watching the show, so I'm jumping ahead now, a full season, I gather, tonight.
Yes, to Unfinished Business. It's a long one, so I'm just going to press play.
How extended is it?
It's Ron Moore's extended cut. So I never watched I watched it when it aired, but we was thinking you guys would be able to tell us what was the differences. I think there's just a lot more...
Stuff in it.
Not precisely. You know, the funny part about this, not funny, but the thing that really makes this unusual time period is that this is the first time that Bob Young directed us.
It's
he was 85
Young,
years old.
Was it the first?
Yeah, it was the first one. This eighth episode, correct?
I think
ninth.
Ninth.
Because we just did Hero with David Icke, and that was the eighth. Yeah.
Yeah.
This one is
filmic so far. There's a lot of extreme close-ups.
Ooh, look at this.
Adama's. It starts out with, it's a flashback, flash forward. It takes the time period of the year kind of gap on New Caprica.
Right.
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 But I'm not fat.
Not yet.
No, am I newly in shape?
No. You are.
Have I never been fat?
You're newly in shape and then you're.
In the New Caprica stuff, you haven't been fat yet. And on the Galactica stuff, you're newly in shape.
So basically it took you a year to get fat and
this
lose
is
it.
It's a flashback to something that happened a whole season ago.
Yeah, 18 months previous.
We've never seen it. It awesome. Fills
yes,
in.
Yes, I remember now. I got it.
It's all getting clear.
But it's very filmic so far. I'm quite impressed with the extreme close-ups.
Very much so.
Do we not get volume? How do I know what's going on?
No, we don't get audio because then we can't hear you.
Okay. Before we get into too much of the episode itself, like let's kind of go all the way back and hop in the Wayback Machine and talk about how you got on Battlestar to begin with. Like, what was your journey?
Well, I had a famously protracted bunch of auditions having landed here, leaving an English television show that wasn't going great. And I was, I'd impregnated Kerry and I had no income and my prospects were poor. And I received this script at my manager's house. And
it sounds like the makings of a Dickens short.
Well, it was. And it was a show that I'd seen in the 70s. And I wasn't sure why they would do that again. And I went in, I read for David Icke, who I gather was just here, and others. And
did you read for Apollo, or were there like
I always read for Apollo and was extremely uptight and intense, and apparently that's what they wanted. And then went in and did the usual casting call, and there were lots of Starbucks and lots of Apollos, and by the end there were only two of each, and read with each. One was Grace and one was Katie. And then went home, and I got the news as I got home, and we had a cocktail, and then I went out and drank tequila at that place on Beverly. What's it called? El Coyote.
And so did I recall being 3 months pregnant, and then
we
threw
all just
up,
celebrated.
Had projectile vomit. Don't drink when you're pregnant.
Is the note? Yes.
Yeah.
I think I drank when I found out too.
I know. I mean, I found out straight away. It was like literally when I got home.
I think mine was
got home
a day
from
or
the test, and then boom, and it was just great. And we flew home the next day, I think. And then I found out Edward James Olmos was going to be playing my dad, and I thought, now I'm going to be fired because we look nothing like each other. Although Kerry, actually, we're staying at Eddie's house, and he's found a portrait of you with someone squaring up a shot, and she says we look very alike. So I take it all back.
That was from American Me.
That's right. It was you directing American Me.
I was
quite
young.
And you were
about
my age.
Well, I was 41 then.
Okay, a bit younger than me. Yeah. So I still haven't directed my own opus, magnum opus.
You will.
I'm behind.
And so you put on the American accent and he put on blue contact lenses.
Correct. So he had this famous meeting with me and the thing said, so what are we going to do? And you said to me, have you ever worn lenses? I said, no. He said, okay, I'll wear the lenses. You dye your hair. You told me.
Yeah.
This is what's happened.
So I did.
I dye my hair.
I know.
Or you wear brown lenses.
I'm very grateful that you did that.
5 years.
And I dyed my hair for 5 years.
Yeah, it gets exhausted with playing Dracula right now. I'm putting in all black contacts that cover the entire eye. And those are a bitch, let me tell you.
Look, I'm beating the crap out of Tama.
Yeah, so.
But I don't know why I'm fighting Tomo. Is it because he's like in bed with silence, literally?
No, sorry to jump ahead just a minute. You get beat up here.
I know, I'm sure. I was just enjoying the opening blows.
But we don't ever find out the argument that puts you guys in the ring, because I think
it's because he sleeps with a silent.
That could do it.
Well, there's some.
I wasn't really big on silence.
You were not the most woke
member
of the Colonial Fleet.
At that point?
Yeah, we didn't.
Yeah, she shot
you. This is after New Caprica.
Yeah, she shot you.
So the boxing stuff is after Sharon. Yeah. Yes, the boxing stuff is all after the Cylons have. You guys have jumped in, saved the day. You know the occupation on New Caprica. I get a little even watching it earlier. I was like, what? Which time period are we?
Yeah.
But it flips to from the founder's foundation day.
I chipped my tooth. On that glass bottle.
Really?
You should never have a glass bottle in a gym when you're holding with boxing gloves, punk, tooth off.
And then it flips to this where Adama says later, because I was wondering, I was like, why would you, when I first started watching the boxing, I was like, why would you want to beat your pilots and your crew up? Like, it makes no sense. What if the Cylons jump in and everybody's got like a headache or a concussion? Right. But then Adama says it later in the episode where this is like a dance where there's always rivalries that have come. You know, it's like a family, it's a crew that are under hard times. So there's little petty arguments that turn into feuds. Mm-hmm. And this is a way that everybody takes their tags off. And this is a way to let off steam and let little petty arguments and feuds from becoming massive.
Right.
And, you know, get it all out in a little frustration and let off some steam. So that's what the point of it is.
Right.
Makes perfect sense.
I don't know why you're fighting Tomo, though, because you didn't really particularly.
Yeah, I'm sure. I don't believe in like that kind of.
I mean, and honestly, like this
Whoa,
is.
Whoa, look at that, Bob Young. Nice. Like, that's his raging bullshit.
You have one of those later coming up, too.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of them.
But this comes in the wake of Measure of Salvation. When Apollo wanted to kill every Cylon, it was all about genocide.
I really hate them.
You're like not a fan.
No.
That's what this is about.
Yeah.
Right. And Tomo's the one.
We did it.
We did it. We figured it out.
Thank you.
All right.
But yes, I knew in my heart of hearts because he loves Cylons that yes. I want
to. Right. You tried to do mass genocide on the Cylon race.
Well, genocide. Hold on. I mean, is genocide what the term is when you bring the pet? You know, the exterminators around to get rid of cockroaches,
Ooh.
Is it?
Ooh. If you got rid of every cockroach.
I mean, it would be extermination, yes.
But it's not genocide, because genocide is specifically human. As a word, genocide only applies to humanity. I think it would. I think if you look in the dictionary.
It'd be a culling then.
A culling.
It's a culling. That's a fair call. And yes.
But Tomo is the one, or Tomo, Hilo is the one that causes the, he saves it by turning off, making everybody, I forget exactly what he
does. They die before they're in range of the resurrection ship, so they can't upload the virus.
He kills the six Cylons that have now been kind of kept alive by Doc Cottle.
Right. So that's the source of their particular friction that they're taking out of the ring.
We just did it previously on.
Like fucking champs, we did it.
Whoa.
Like we
took us a little while to figure it out.
We asked backwarded our way into that, but sure. There's the apocryphal story about the shooting of Dr. No, that Sean Connery and Lois Maxwell had to decide what Bond and Monty Penny's relationship was. And the two of them had decided that they had slept together and won't ever do it again. And that had informed every way they played every scene, was they had been intimate and decided that it was a mistake. Had you any sense coming into, even this season, the totality of the relationship between you and Kara? Like, what's informing this particular...
Well, it was always sort of the backstory that this completely inappropriate relationship, because essentially they would have been sister and brother-in-law. Mm-hmm. Something had happened, and then the death of the younger brother.
Which was inadvertently caused by Kara.
Right, kind of her fault.
Yeah.
By passing him.
But then the death is made that much worse, because now they blame each other for the death, and they blame themselves for having betrayed him prior to his death. And so we always had that in mind. What we didn't know, I guess, is what Ron wrote in this episode, that they sleep together, declare undying love, and then she goes and marries the other guy in the morning, which, you know.
So that just came.
You make your own mind up about, you know, how cool that is or not.
I mentioned to Mark earlier before you guys got here that I really, you said you had kind of a poll with people.
Well, just I remember when the episode aired and talking to friends, both male and female, about it. And this is very much a like, who's wrong here? Whose side are you on? Are you on Apollo's side? Are you on Starbucks' side? And there were a couple of women who were just like, I'm ride or die for Starbuck. Like, I buy everything she did and why she does it, and I'm sympathizing with her. Like, how could you? Because Starbuck is awful. She's the worst.
I literally made a note in here. Like, I don't like Starbuck in this episode. She's being selfish, not just in the last episodes as well. Like, feeling like everything that's happened on New Caprica, she had it worse than anybody. Which was a lot of the dynamic and collaborators and thing, every, you know, between the people on Galactica thought they had it worse. The people on New Caprica thought they had it worse. But she really plays it up to an extreme. Mm-hmm. And then with all the Lee stuff, it's like his fault, his fault, his fault. And she's not taking any of it for herself. So I was like, I guess I think like a dude, because I was not happy with Starbuck in this episode.
But you think like, you say you think like a dude, but the truth of this, of these characters, is that she's the male and he's the female in terms of the way they do things. I mean, he's fundamentally loyal and sort of loving, and she, you know, she screws everything that moves and feels no remorse. And she's the, you know, she's the hotshot pilot. He's the manager of people. So that's what Ron did, and it's what Ron does. And, you know, he's brilliant at it, you know, for all mankind, which I'm watching at the moment, which I love. Same thing. You know, he shifts the universe 15 degrees, and suddenly the females are becoming astronauts. Mm. and we're exploring what gender does. And he's been doing it for so long. And that's what I think he started off doing that straight away. I've just kissed you. Well,
just got even
worse. That's a beautiful relationship.
Carrie.
We're just going to go places. And, you know, I struggled with it. You know, I struggled with it playing the girl to Katie's sort of male pilot hero. And, but the truth is it was a gift to both of us because we were able to flip something. But so, you know, I totally buy what Starbuck does. It's a forbidden love that she nips in the bud, having woken up in the morning and sobered up, and she makes the decision. And Apollo's not capable of making it.
But, and it's a closeness too, right? It's her opening up. She really does love Lee. Right.
Yeah, but she
and it's a vulnerability to open up, and then she opens up, and it's like got to slam that door shut again.
Right, and I think she has to do it, and she does it because she's stronger than he is, and he then goes on the rebound and finds
proposes
out
to Dwala at the end of this.
Well, of course,
and eats everything in sight.
And he's
of course, and that precipitates the big old weight gain. It all makes sense. Or well, as Michael Ryman says, he gets happy. He's happy. He's married.
Okay.
And so, there's Eduardo with a tash.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah, I mean,
you guys had such lovely scenes here with it was interesting for me because I made a note of, like, you know, Rosalind and Adamo were so against going down the colonizing of New Caprica and the loss of the election and Baltar winning and everything. But Rosalind seems pretty happy here. And throughout the episode, she convinces Adamo that maybe this is a place to, like, to accept it now instead of fight it, to accept it and to be, we don't know how long we have coming. You know, the Cylons, if the Cylons come tomorrow, we're all dead. So, which they weren't, but in terms of enjoying what we have. And she does do a 180 from where she was at the end of the second season. But then when we see Under the Oppression on the New Caprica, she's changed her tune again.
So when the Cylons arrive on New Caprica and all goes wrong, that's after, this is the giddy moment where we've discovered the planet and everything's cool, and then they arrive, and then the suicide bombing happens, and everything
goes 6 months before the Cylons show up.
Got it. Okay, cool.
So it's still, like, you know, New Foundation Day, and Baltar is still the president. People kind of still like him because he hasn't done anything awful yet.
Right. People are picking out where their houses are going to be.
Mm-hmm. There's Alex Pomovic in the ring.
Yeah,
former heavyweight champion of Canada.
I know, and you see it coming
and my
up.
My boxing coach and your boxing coach. Remember, we had like 3 weeks in season one working with Pornovic. Then he turned into like a movie star. He didn't tell us that.
He was just our boxing coach.
I was like, dude, duplicitous. He had ulterior motives. He was using us.
You guys can. You all look like you know what you're doing, but there's a shot that maybe I missed seeing it and it already happened, but you see him and he's like, he's in there.
He was dancing around then. I was just watching that. I've never seen him dance like that.
I was so struck by how optimistic the New Caprica stuff looks. Like, the color palette is different.
Yeah.
It's brighter. The skies are bluer. Like, there's actually green kind of, like, it looks like hope in a way that it didn't when we click in after the season two finale.
Yeah,
when
yeah,
it just
yeah.
looks miserable and yeah, just yeah. depressed.
And we were dancing you know, one of those sort of really dances, and it was all very kind of below decks Titanic stuff. The optimism of not having a ship that is not unsinkable.
No.
Yeah, and they have sand. Adama's feet are playing in the sand. I love the scene. Mary comes up. You're playing in the sand. He goes, it's not sand. It's alluvial deposits.
Same thing.
Honestly.
Same damn thing.
The sexiest things in this episode are literally like Adama and Rosalind. And these are sweet little, we're going to smoke this weed out
it's
here.
The
we're going to smoke this weed. And he gets his butt kicked.
By who?
Starbuck.
Of course.
Doesn't go well for him.
Of course.
Did he not have the training season one with the boxing coach?
I did say, like, I was like, I did note. I was like,
he was up a weight division.
A little fast. But she surprises him with, like,
punching above his class.
Yeah, punching above. That's the way to put it. Yeah.
I feel bad for Dwala in this.
Oh, and because she
knows what's up. She knows. And she even says it at the end. Like, she's like, I get it.
Yeah. You know, Anders comes in. He's like, what's going on? What do you think this is about? It's like, I know exactly what this is about.
Well, he knows what it's about, too. Okay.
He does. He's a little in denial.
Well, he's a dude.
He's a dude. He's just like, what's happening? I don't get it. Why is she punching him so hard?
Yeah, God bless to her. Season 3, that was 2005. That was 15 years ago. So, yes, correct. That's a third of my life. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, we all, we all were. It's like, ooh, shocking.
You all look great.
That was fun. Except it was, for you, you know, Eddie. What? This episode was great because we were all there all the time. It was like everyone, it was almost like being in a comedy club. You know, two of you get up there and entertain us, and we all sat around the ring. You probably weren't even.
No, my presence is graced by being asleep in a bed in a threesome with Deanna.
Was last episode. That's not even this episode.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Like this episode is actually.
Am I in this episode?
No, not at all.
Oh.
So let's talk about you a lot.
That's why you haven't seen it.
Yeah.
But this is basically a bottle episode, right? Like you had to rebuild a little bit of New Caprica.
Well, apart from this.
Apart from that stuff, which, you know. It looks big, but also contained.
Well, sort of.
You know, it's
we
like.
We didn't do outside very often.
But then also this was the beginning of, so they hadn't built up a lot of stuff yet.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So they can get away with not having ripped the sets down from.
Yeah. Like that's probably the biggest shot you see, which is like you're panning a little bit and you get to see some tents and some scaffoldings and stuff. But other than that, in like a parking lot somewhere, there's not a lot of production you had to spend money on. And the only set on the ship is the boxing ring.
Is it really? The whole episode?
Yeah.
Oh, this is it.
Oh, God. So heartbreaking.
Screw you guys.
Anders feels so happy. Look, man, this is great. Sun is shining. The skies are clear.
Oh, it's all good. They're gonna go on a double date. They're gonna go.
They're gonna go to Olive Garden. Double date.
They'll go to Olive Garden.
You should tell them the story of how you felt when Michael was cast and what you thought was going to happen.
Why?
Ooh, wait.
It makes a good story.
Thereupon hangs a tale, please.
Oh yeah, look, he's the bigger, better version of me.
What?
Yeah, just in case something happened and then plane crash, and then they'd always have Truca. He was one of the Apollos at the beginning, but he left the audition because his agent wouldn't let him sign the deal. So it was unfinished business.
Ooh.
And then he shows up. I'm like, ooh, here we go. And then we were like, you know, rivals. But I love the guy. So that's all good.
Yeah, Michael is an amazing human being.
Yeah. There he is.
Baltar.
Yeah.
People are still liking him at this point.
Like, can he wear a tie, though? Like, this seems like it's an official government business. Like, dude, put on a tie.
Yeah, founding day. Founding day? Yeah. Foundation day?
Foundation day, whatever.
If you're a rock star scientist, you don't wear a tie. You don't wear a tie. You've got hair like that, you don't wear a tie. You don't even do the collar up.
No.
You're going to get the hair caught in the button.
I mean, he's got the prostitutes waiting back in Colonial One, he's got to have easy access when he gets back.
Okay. Oh, here's the dance. This is what we love.
Yeah, it's like there was like Irish dancing or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we had like a Haley. Haley? What's that word? Kaylee.
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 And Haley.
She was there. She was there doing the makeup. She was doing the makeup.
She was. A very good.
Ellen Ty. Saul's one eye. I'm just going to rhyme for the rest of the night. I've had half a bottle of wine. I think it's about time.
Yeah. Ellen does say something about your pyramid man or something. She's like, hmm.
And there's the chief.
But he's taken.
Sweet chief.
Chief drinking green juice. Oh, dear.
Ambrosia.
Oh, dear. Ambrosia. That's right. Sorry.
And they've wanted the story with this, and I think why Adama and Chief get into a fight later, right, is fight, but in the ring, is the chief wants to go down and have their baby and live on New Caprica.
Oh, and you won't let him.
And you won't let him.
Because he's too important.
Yeah, and because he wants to keep his family together. Then he sees, I think once Kara gets married, ironically, he's like, well, I soften a little bit. Like, you guys should stay down here. I let them muster out and have their baby.
Right.
Right. And Rosalind has a big part in that, too, in their stoned lay on the sand episode.
Stoned immaculate.
Not just episode.
So the subtext here is Adama doesn't like peace. You're down there. Everyone's having a great time getting married, like doing the things that you do. And you're like, I'm going to mess this up. I'm going to just.
Nobody
no,
should be
No, this
happy.
Is not going to.
We're in a war.
I think you called the Cylons, didn't you? I think you speak up.
I think you opened where we were.
You put your little gizmo online and you just signaled that this is where everyone is. This is not good.
Hey, that's fresh right after Hero, the episode before where we find out that Adama was in some way responsible for the comings of the Cylons.
Yeah, he wants war.
Initially, so.
He wants war. He's like into the military industrial complex. He needs war for it to all work. He's a bit like, you know, our president right now. Needs people to hate each other to feel that they have an identity. But identity can be all embracing, you know that.
Well, I just had to keep you guys sharp. I mean, basically, you guys had to be in the top end of it.
Yeah.
Because this is really, really.
See, eyes off. This is all good.
It also mirrors what Duala tells Lee just before Exodus, is you're a soldier in need of a war. Like, you're nothing without an enemy to fight. You got to get back in there.
Is that when I'm fat?
That's when you're fat.
Yeah.
It's like, and it's so like, it's shady because he's like, it's the reason why I love you. You're so much like your dad. And he's like, I don't want to be like my dad.
And what kind of reason is that to love someone?
Tell me.
Because they're like your dad.
Like, you just want to fuck my dad and I'm the younger version.
Go after him. He's down the corridor.
It's like,
he's just drinking with Ty.
Your wife likes your dad and and Kara likes incest. Anders.
It's an incestuous family. It's a Greek tragedy. And he's called Apollo. He's from that. He's not called Oedipus, but may as well.
I mean, he could have been named Phil, but no. His name is Apollo. And now Starbuck wants in the ring because Starbuck came down. She knows what it's all about, and she's got a bone to pick. And she keeps on egging Apollo on the entire time. It's like, where are you going, buddy?
But why does she? I don't understand why she wants to fight. She wants the chance. I don't know. Why?
It's like how I
think Adama explains it. The whole reason for this fight is to let these festering.
So she knows that I want to fight.
Or she wants to burn made it the all decision. Down.
Burn it all down. Like, just beat the
like
shit out
an
of
agent
each other.
Of chaos
and
at this point.
Let it go.
I'm like, you look happy. I want to ruin that happiness.
I don't look very happy, though. I don't think
you look a little already beaten up.
I look a little upset with everything. Yeah.
And this here leading up to, there's a massive fight between Adama and Chief. And it's because
that was a good one. Sorry.
The girls knocking each other out
and properly.
You got to pay extra for that.
Well, gender blind world. Nobody's interested.
I forgot what I was going to say.
Oh. AJ,
those are some sideburns. See, the 2000s were basically the 70s, and Battlestar went for it.
Yeah, he's basically Elvis.
We were all wearing sort of weird brown flared suits. Yeah, we were. It was odd. Lucky, I don't know why I became a politician. That was a poor move. The military uniform's quite nice. And then I wear these dodgy suits.
It's not a great look.
No.
Was a...
Yeah, you're smoking some weed.
Something that she found along the side of the river.
Come on.
That's what she
Where the
says.
Water is crystal clear.
Yeah. She says, I just found this. And
yeah, has she still got cancer at this point?
Yeah, of course.
No, she's been.
She was not in remission.
She was healed. Yeah, she was.
Yeah, she was by the Cylon baby.
By the hybrid.
By the hybrid. The Doc Hoddle did the whatever it's called when they put a needle in.
Blood transfusion. She got the amniotic fluid from the
stem cells.
Yes.
Cylon stem cells.
Yes. Science.
And it cured her. She was on her deathbed and it cured her. So it hasn't come back yet.
She got scienced.
That was controversial at the time. George W. didn't like stem cells, did he?
No, not at all.
He was not keen.
No.
He was the president then.
Were there any conversations about weed and the use of recreational mind-altering substances in this episode?
In Vancouver. Don't laugh at my dancing. I happen to be dancing in this show. No, I'm not.
I don't know. I wasn't in it, so I don't know if there was any discussions on
what you mean
about weed
offset.
No, I mean like clearly Adama and Laura are smoking weed.
It was well understood that it was grass. Yeah.
Was there any issues with the network and the studio?
No, none.
Like, hey,
that the powers were
mom and dad, or here's like getting high.
No, there was no one ever said a thing. Tell you.
You know,
it's so cute how they Gata comes up when you first see you guys smoking.
They
it's
carry slow motion dancing.
Nobody's peeing. We're pouring wine.
Nobody's peeing, as far as you know.
As far as I know. Hey, smoking weed, drinking wine. What's the difference? pass it down to you guys. It's so cute because Gata is talking to you guys about stuff, and then he gets called off and leaves, and that's when the weed comes out from behind your back and going, I thought he'd never leave.
Yeah, like Scooby-Doo. Get out of here, buddy.
Burning my hand, man. It's going down to a blunt.
But the last episode we watched as a family was the one with Lucy Lawless showing up and Gator doing a piece to camera, and he is smoking and he's got a tattoo.
Yes, in the head, right?
Yeah.
He's in the head.
He's got that tiger on his shoulder.
Yeah. But he's also smoking and he hides it. Mm. So, you know. You're both hiding your secret vices from each other. There.
Do you think Lee loved Dualla?
I think Lee learned to love Dualla.
Ooh. It's the cruelest sentence.
No, it's the best kind of, it's the best kind of lover, actually.
Really?
Yes, I think so. I think it's not all like superficial and whiz bang, but it's deep, and she is truly selfless.
Yeah.
Dualla is the selfless character. She's kind of, she gives to everyone. And you could argue that Starbuck is the opposite and quite selfish, as you said, because she's fundamentally, in our world, she'd be like a male dude, a taker. She's the star, you know, she's everyone gives her huge respect. She's the talisman, but Dualla is very much the unsung hero. So I think, yeah, by the end, it was very profound. Hmm.
Love can grow.
Definitely.
Right?
Definitely.
It can.
Just like an attraction.
It's the whole theory of arranged marriage.
True.
True.
I mean, I wouldn't want to experience it.
Well, not many would, but apparently it has worked for centuries in lots of different cultures.
True.
And people have good experiences with it. I'm not saying it's for everyone, but not that this was an arranged marriage at all. But I think by the end, no, it's absolutely profound. And when, I don't want to anticipate, but I happen to remember what happened at the end. And it's one of the most awful scenes, the way
Don't spoil too much.
I won't.
we do some spoilers, but at the same time, we kind of get yelled at by some people that are watching it for the first time. So,
Dual is a giver. She's an enabler. She makes people better than they would otherwise be. And I think she did that with Lee.
I agree.
Yeah. If not for her making Lee a better person, the entire fleet doesn't get saved. If Lee doesn't step up, then he doesn't.
On the CIC, she makes everyone better all the time. She's just like unsung. Right, Eddie? Wouldn't you say? She's like the sort of the rhythm section of the CIC. She keeps everyone going.
God, yes. She was definitely the glue. She kept everybody in tune to what was happening on board
the
ship.
And the camera tends to focus on her to see what the stakes were in the CIC. Because you're at work, you're stony, but you can see with Dualla what was just at risk, what was at stake, what worked, what didn't. She's like the barometer of, you know, how that thing functions.
Her and...
And Gata.
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 Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that Laura's a fight fan.
I know, and she comes up and gives like.
Yeah, she's the one who gets this whole thing going. She's the one who says you should go in there.
Yeah. Or do you ever go? Do you ever fight?
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I never fight until I hold my glasses.
After he sees Chief say to it, one of his mechanics.
This is it.
Don't.
Yeah, we'll get to it in the morning. Don't
yeah, we'll get to it in the morning. And then that's when Adama's like, nope. You guys have gone soft.
Oh, but look, the chief is more like into the idea of just being allowed to fight the admiral. He doesn't seem like he's got a dog in the race other than he's honored to be the one. Well, this is a bit of fun.
Which turns on him quickly
in
the fight.
And now, like, Hilo's getting involved as he's your cut, man.
Yeah, you're like wrap him tight. Yeah. Would you tell him wrap him tight?
Chief couldn't be happier. It's the first time I've ever seen the chief smile. He's still smiling.
He's drunk. He gets to go beat up the old man. That's a weird response.
Chief, don't smile. Chief's grumpy.
The money's going around. The bets are going on.
It's good times.
If you notice the tone of the whole series from this moment on changed because of this one episode. the way that it was shot, the kind of movement that the, because we were using close-ups and everything, but the way that Bob structured his storytelling, mm-hmm. it's really beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, the camera's always moving. Oh, it's always God. Dancing.
Yeah.
But it's the details. Yeah, you're right. Ooh. Oh, it's rolled the spot.
Do not, under any circumstance, trust the Admiral.
No. Everybody's, oh, shit.
No Geneva Convention, no rules of engagement, no Marcus of Queensbury. Just
no put up your dukes.
He's not smiling now.
No.
All right, laughing boy, come on.
He was totally, completely pissed off.
Which is amazing. Commercial break.
Commercial break.
Yeah. Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yeah, it's a tough one to watch, though, this... This fight goes on extended. Like, you see a lot of... this is the extended cut.
Mm-hmm. So was this aired at all, the extended cut? Or was it on the DVD?
I think it was on the DVDs.
So, and streaming,
And streaming. So it's probably what's out there now, I imagine. But I hadn't watched the original to see where it had been cut, what had been cut. Mm. But I think they obviously let more air go.
Right.
And more of, there was probably more scenes on New Caprica.
More meaningful glances.
How many episodes?
More
meaningful glances. How many episodes got that leeway to happen?
Not very many.
There was some that were turned into two episodes that had originally been one, and then it came in long, like...
Occupation Precipice.
And Home.
Home, part one, part two.
Well,
Occupation Precipice was supposed to be two episodes that condensed into a two-hour event.
The premiere of the third season.
Yeah.
And then, but this one, they just, this was Ron's cut apparently, but it didn't make air because I suppose they couldn't.
Because they couldn't squeeze it in.
But it's a lot of fighting. Like when I was watching it, I did think this is like, it, in my view of it, because I don't necessarily like people seeing getting punched.
Especially people you love.
Like, I know. Like, oh, look at that, that hurt. Face. I know it's fake, but ooh, that hurt. It did seem a little long to me.
I kept wondering, like, Adama makes a very big point of, I never get in the fights, I never get in the ring. And then he gets in the ring, and is there like a community mouthpiece that he uses? Because it's clearly not his, it's not a thing he does. And then he's like,
what? You just dip it in ambrosia. It's good to go.
How much spit swapping is going on?
I mean, everybody's sharing bottles, tie and everybody's sharing
glass
bottles.
Glass ones, really hard to.
And I don't think when you guys sleep together, I don't think there's condoms necessarily in your pocket. Like,
what? And sand in places you don't want sand.
Sand in places.
There's no blanket in Kara's fake house.
I will say sex on a beach is really not that.
Yeah.
No, I like the drink. Not a fan of the act.
What's in that drink? I've never
sex
ordered it.
Sex on the beach? Like every rum possible and like a splash of grenadine and pineapple.
Oh, sounds good.
Oh, yeah. No, it's just like, it's a hammer. I'm going to get you drunk as fast as I can.
Okay.
So you'll have sex on the beach.
Oh, that's it. Right. That's the purpose. Mm. It's a means to an end.
Absolutely.
Okay.
There's no grace.
Very good.
But I'm assuming with this, because like this fight is going on for a 1 hour, right? Or 42 minutes, what it would have aired originally. The fight would have gone on for quite some time. If but it is a fascinating fight when you see the whole of it and what Adama is teaching the crew in that moment, right?
Yeah.
What, like?
No, what
there are no rules.
No, he's talking. I don't see where.
He says we've gone soft, doesn't he?
That's later. That's at the end. At the end of the fight.
And we needed to remember who he is, that he's the boss, and we've all become a family.
And to also not give up.
I find that really cool. Because, like, Eddie at the beginning was terrifying. You terrified everybody on purpose so that we would be so scared that we would, like, be learning our lines and be good when we got to work. And I'll never forget, in the miniseries, it couldn't be more terrifying. No small talk. He Miami Vice'd me. We did a whole scene where he did the whole thing over his shoulder like that. And I know you did that to Don Johnson and what's his face? He told me. And then when we came back and we'd season one and we were house hunting, you won't remember this, but we were house hunting to find a place to live, because when season one, you're on your own. Mm. Like, they just presume you live in Vancouver now. So, you know, showed up off a plane and had to find a place
year
to
later,
live.
Right? A year later after the
first time around, they put you out in a hotel and everything's free. And then season one, you go find yourself a place to live. Anyway, first place I'm going to look at was a place on Creelman Avenue, which is in Kitts Point. And I walk in, and who's walking out from having just looked at it? This guy. This guy, alpha male. And I was like, oh shit, I'm not getting this one then, because he's gonna get it. And you came over and you gave me what is now an Eddie hug. And I was like, what's changed? Something's changed. I must have done okay, or we're good now. And yeah, it was amazing. But you said, you like this place, it's yours, you take it. And then,
well, you had a baby then.
Yeah, and you got a better one around the corner.
I got a little.
But we were neighbors. We were neighbors. But we were neighbors.
You had one baby and another two coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, I mean, that was like, I said, wow, this is really amazing.
That's it.
Wow, those guys really need to use contraception.
That's what you said.
In the sand. In the sand. But yeah, no, I mean, the Admiral's doing a reverse journey. He's regaining his mystique, I guess, in this episode. Like, enough of the familiarity. Let's go back to ranks. I'm the boss.
So in what we've just watched in the episode before last week with Hero, this is before that though, right?
The new Caprica stuff is before that.
Yes, but
the
fighting stuff is after. After Hero?
Yeah.
But Hero is after the new Caprica and after they're all back on.
Uh-huh.
Oh, it's a mind fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the parallel timelines that are happening.
This is where we measure out our home. We do our...
And you end up in the sand.
Architectural floor plan.
Yeah.
This is going to be...
Yeah.
And we've got Rosalind and Adama laying in the sand talking about life.
Do you think they did more than talk, Eddie?
Yeah.
No, not yet. Actually, not until she came back with getting sick again is when I finally consummated the relationship. But that was well into the series. People wanted us to get together. And that was Ron's understanding of knowing how to do that.
You were the Sam and Diane of Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah.
I'm not going to have any step siblings.
No.
Yeah. And this is where, you know, Apollo is kind of laying it out to Kara. Like, is this the life you want? Like, what if this is the rest of your life living in this house as Mrs. Kara Anders?
Oh, no.
Is this how you want to spend it?
As Anders.
Yeah. It's like, are you gonna get married to him? Is this what's gonna happen?
Okay, yeah, okay.
And she's like, I'm not gonna get married. It's like, well, then what are you doing here? Like, what's the point? You're picking out a house in the middle of the prairie?
She actually is, though, gonna get married to
Mm-hmm.
That's what he thinks anyway.
Well, no, he's.
And now he's full court press.
No, he's not thinking that at all.
Well, yeah, it says right here, where are we going, Lee? Well, now that's the question, isn't it? Where are we going? What is this? This is the rest of your life, Kara. This is how you want to spend it. Did you just read that? Mm. Who you want to spend it with?
It's all yours.
You've got someone in mind? And she goes, you've got someone in mind, Lee? He goes, tell me I'm not going to come along and upset your little apple cart.
Oh, see. Mm.
And then she says, maybe I want you. That's my old school pages. Sorry.
Yeah.
Maybe I want you to upset it.
She says that.
She says that.
Oh, well, I do.
And then you kiss her.
Yeah. And so I do upset it. And then she doesn't want it because she wakes up the next morning and does exactly what I said she was going to do.
Yeah.
Well, there's the moment after it all. And then it's like you get up and scream it to the hills and make her do it. And she's uncomfortable doing it. But she does it. And then, yeah, she leaves you there asleep.
Yeah. And I wake up. And she's already gone to the other guy.
Hard cut.
Sweet move.
It's. Yeah.
Yes. No. We're all laughing.
watching.
Yeah.
Yeah. Never.
We're used to it. Happens all the time.
Me I've watching you have sex
I've,
with someone else.
I've seen you make out with many others
on camera.
On camera.
Yeah, it's awkward.
It's all good.
That was pretty quick.
Yeah. Yeah, there was. It was funny because in the beginning, there's a big Sam and Kara scene in the beginning, and it's like this. Ooh, it opens on that. This mm-hmm. kind of longer lovemaking scene, and then this is very. It's very intimate.
Wham bam.
It just comes in at the very end, but it's very intimate and quiet.
I think there's editing involved. I just like to say. I think there's editing involved. Yeah,
that doesn't get you twins.
Yeah.
No, it was very intimate and quiet, and I think that was to show the connection of these two characters, right? You didn't see it all build up, but hand gestures are happening.
Yeah.
It's not like a Six Belter moment. It's not like a...
No.
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 Moment is the wrong word.
There is no motion in the ocean.
Marathon. Here we go. Shrieking to the hills. Look at the condensation on the breath. It was cold.
How cold was it, Jamie?
I don't know. I've just seen some condensation.
Do you remember what time of year this was? Was this like December in Vancouver and you're naked in a forest?
Vancouver can get cold. It doesn't matter what time of year.
Well, we would have started in July and this is halfway through the season. So this is coming up toward the end of the year. Yeah.
November.
Oof.
Well, it was sunny there.
It is chilly to be balls out in Vancouver.
Look, there's condensation again. Anyway.
Yeah, cold.
Yeah. It is.
Wasn't the coldest thing I did though. That was getting into the Deep Cove in late November, swimming. Had to lie there with my shades on.
Oh, when you were floating.
Floating. Yes. I was actually in space.
Yeah, when you were when you gave up, yeah. When you were like, yeah. I'm not even going to try. Yeah.
And we were on a barge.
No, this happened already.
Yeah, that was Resurrection Ship.
Yeah,
maybe?
That was season,
yeah.
Season two.
Yeah, two-thirds of the way through season two.
Yeah, so that was really cool. Oh. But they had a bath on a barge. We were on a barge, and every time I jumped out in the bath, jumped back in. It was interesting.
I had one. I had to jump in. It was in December. This is Battlestar, but yeah, that coldness of the water. I had to do one jump into the water, dive in, and it was so cold that it actually took my breath away.
Yeah.
And because you just immediately, you dive in and I had to swim, like pretending I was swimming across and then just swim to a barge and get out. But it was that moment, like I actually thought I was going to have to stop because it literally took my breath away.
Yeah, yeah. And there's a bit where you can't move anymore, where you get so numb that you can't move. And then,
And then you get to sit in a hot tub on a barge.
Yeah, that was fun.
Like you could also just sit in the hot tub on the barge and like not do the rest of that.
Oh, no. People looking at me saying, gotta get in there.
Lee gets everything he's ever wanted.
This is a really long scene.
It is.
That's the extended cut. That's what I was saying. It's like really long.
I've never seen it. I don't think I've ever seen this.
I wonder where they cut it. I would have watched it on TV,
and then I haven't watched the DVDs, and we're watching it now. We'll get to it, but I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I mean, the scene is, I think you've got. I watched the broadcast cut because the scene is very much just, you know, Lee saying like, well, tomorrow I'm going to go tell Dee, and you're going to go tell Sam, and we're going to be together. And he's like, my name is Leah Dahman. I love Kara Thrace. It's all that shouting stuff. And
yeah, because she says this just made it complicated.
Right.
He's like, what's complicated about it?
Totally. Like, you know, they're like high school kids and he's in love and he'll do whatever's got to get done. And she's like, hold on now. I'm awful. I'm going to go do awful things.
I'm going to simplify it.
I'm going to go get married.
Simplify.
Just you watch.
And now we're back to the fight.
Yeah, and she's goading him. She's like, oh, man, the old man's got chops. Like, he knows when to move in. He knows when to bob and weave. Like, if only his son had that same moxie.
If only you were half the man your daddy is.
And she admits that they slept together in front of Dwala. Mm. Like, that's when I'm like, Kara's a shit stirrer.
Oh, she is, for sure.
It was right there. She said
we knew that, though, right? She's the maverick. She's always the one who...
Yeah.
That's not in the broadcast.
Tramples on.
That's feelings. Not in the broadcast.
Mm-mm. Oh, right.
Yeah, they cut that for broadcast.
The simpletons don't know.
No, I don't know.
The people who don't seek out. That's why I got all the hate. They didn't understand.
Did you get a bunch of like?
No, I didn't. I mean, I did at the beginning. Absolutely, yeah. But we both did. I mean, Katie and I got it full pelt. Katie more because she was a woman. She really wasn't. She was playing the dude.
They just
and
didn't see it.
She had a cigar
it.
And she had everything. And I didn't get as much, but it was vitriolic at first. I think she got a death threat or something stupid.
Yeah. Did they prep you at all for that? Like, Ron have any?
No. We're grown ups. You know what you're doing, and it's just play pretend and. But although we didn't, I'd never done anything science fiction. I've never got into some popular culture that's already existed in some form and never felt this. But I was told by people in my family, you're going to feel something. There's something's going to happen. My stepdad, weirdly, he said, you know, this is going to be strange because you are trampling on something that people really love. And sure enough, straight away, and it was the first days of the internet, I'd only just got an email. I only just understood what the internet was. And they had these boards. No, it wasn't Instagram or Twitter.
It was message boards.
And you could read everything that had ever been on the board. And of course, I did. And it was extremely depressing for a long time. And then it turned. And I remember when it turned. And then it was all adulation, like ridiculous adulation.
And that's where if you believe the bad, you have to believe the good, right?
But
that whole adage.
You don't know, do you?
Believe the critics, you have to believe
but
the...
Don't. As a human being, you don't believe the good. You only believe the bad. But yeah, you know, it was a weird thing. And it was my first journey into this whole world of being talked about and known. And it was at that moment. It happened to be at the moment where the internet started really being something involved in everyone's life. So it was very... strange.
I remember, I mean, my character wasn't in the original, obviously.
Yeah, so you had carte blanche.
But I was also a Cylon and the known Cylon from the beginning. Yeah, and it was my first series. I just started acting. And again, like you said, started the internet and whatever. And I remember saying to my husband at the time, I was like, everybody hates me. Like the fans hate me. And he goes, that means you're doing your job.
Yeah.
Because you're the bad guy. Yeah. You're not supposed to be liked. And then some changed once, you know, the Cylons were developed a little bit more.
Yeah,
and,
right.
You know, then you start having empathy with the Cylons and whatever. You know, but I remember him saying,
You're the bad guy.
Yeah. Like, that's the job.
That's the job.
Yeah, see, I was the good guy and they were hating me. So thanks for really laying that down.
I was at a convention in London. Couple of years ago, when we were both there, Trisha and I were both at this convention, and Dan Fogler, who's in
when this podcast was born,
Dan Fogler, who's in the Fantastic Beast movies, he's like the number two, he's the best friend of the protagonist. They had to signing autographs or whatever. They had to escort a dude from line. Like security came and just flooded to the line and walked this guy out. And it became clear that he had laid a death threat. Like, he was going to kill Dan Fogler because he hadn't been able to separate the reality of the real world from the fiction of the fake world. And he was there literally to kill this guy who he thought was going to harm Newt Scamander or whatever in a movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And just that sense of, you know, the reality of these worlds and how deep they affect people and how some are not able to schism the real from the fake. It was frightening. And like the bobbies came in. I only know that word because I watch Monty Python a lot. But the bobbies came in and they escorted
Python
him away.
Python 70s, nobody's calls them bobbies.
Not so much?
No, the filth. plod. Doesn't look like.
But at least it wasn't that bad.
No.
In 2005.
But, you know, it's like sports teams. People are the same. Mm. You know, you hate on players that play for your team if you don't think they're doing the right thing. And the language used is heightened.
The last publicly sanctioned place for bias. Yeah.
Well, sort of. But.
And here's...
Here it is.
You guys are still fighting.
You still like,
you and Chief are still fighting.
We had like three digressions before.
It is so hard to watch this. It's
you're
like,
a great artist. That's a Rorschach thing that you've just put on the canvas with all your blood. That's beautiful. That Pollock did that. Mm. I mean, you did it eons before because, as the fans will find out, this is a...
Long time ago in a galaxy far, far event. Away.
But it's a powerful moment to see this, like this, you guys just beat each other up. You made him stand up and fight. You know, we didn't want to in the beginning. Didn't want to. Each other thought it was kind of like an honor or whatever.
Yeah.
And then
he cold-cocked him.
Cold-cocked him. And then this is when you have your speech about I let you guys get soft. And
and before this, Roslyn said, like, you know, he's leading with his right. If you jab him and hit him with the left, you can get him. He's like, I'm not going to win. Like, this is not about me winning.
He didn't want to win.
I'm going to lose. I knew I was going to lose from the jump.
Well, you had to.
Yeah, and it's just like everybody. And then you're like, this is, you know, and then everybody, of course, it takes the energy out of the room and makes everybody back into their senses. And Ty's like, this is done. Or maybe that was, I think it's Ty said, this is done. We're all done.
Yeah, dance is over.
Dance is over. Although... Katie won't let it go. Kara won't let it go. But it's just like this moment where you're just like, oh, fuck. It's like.
Can we go home now?
Yeah.
She's just thinking, okay, I think, God, Carla's just outside. I think I could just make it back in time.
Sneak out? Did I? It's really hard to watch, but it's. And I don't know exactly the difference of the extended cut or not, but. There's moments like this that you think if they're not in the extended cut, it's great for it. But then there's other moments I feel like it's just too long.
Ed, did you do your own blood application?
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah, I've seen. I can tell. That was liberal.
Yeah, well done.
Look at you.
I like to imagine that like the next day in the CIC, just everybody's just fucked up.
But then you have to imagine that this goes on for the rest of the show on a weekly basis or a fortnightly basis or whatever it is.
And everybody's kind of cool with it. It's not like Fight Club, right? Where it's like, oh, hey, what are you doing,
buddy? It's not a secret. It's not a secret. You can talk about it.
Chief gets the message. All right, let's go fix that ship. We can't be slacking. The old man showed us in blood.
And this is where we decide, or she decides.
You are hurting when you were walking off there. I'm sure you guys were actually kind of hurting anyway from all the fake punching and hitting the deck. And
well, you hit each other. You definitely hit each other. I mean, you're trying to not to, but inevitably you do.
Yeah, Ty calls it. Dance is over.
I would. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
No, it is fun. It's like, you get to rehearse, which you don't often get to do. Yeah.
He's about to call it. She's like, what are you, chicken? What are you, yellow? Did you call me yellow?
There she comes.
That's when you... I just got a text that came up on the screen, and that's the last...
last episode.
Last podcast we were in. Eddie was calling. And we're like,
oh, Eddie's
guess
calling.
Who's joined? Eddie made this podcast too.
Oh, then I hit her. Love it. What a cool thing.
Yeah, you guys, you fight. But to me, it was like, okay, we know Starbucks tough and all, but it the fight goes on. Like, you would have hurt her. Like, I don't think she would have, not you, but Lee. Like, I'm all for, I mean, there's just a difference in, but I mean, unless she's Ronda Rousey and you're like.
But is there? I mean, I don't know.
Jake from accounting.
I don't know.
You're right, exactly. But it's not Jake from accounting. And she's sort of Ronda Rousey, but not trained, you know. But then it turns into UFC fighting.
Do you know what? It's ahead of its time because we're debating what a female athlete can and can't be, whether testosterone is allowed. You know, who knows? And in the future, who knows where we're going to get in terms of women have been playing competitive sport for half the time that men have, and who knows?
No, I agree. I'm not saying it can't be as talented and as and in terms of the technique and everything.
But I definitely felt that back then. I was like, this is weird. I mean, it's scary as a guy. Just you could hurt. You know, you have some gallantry.
A modicum of honor.
You have a modicum of, like, I really mustn't do the same as I do to Tamo, who I felt no guilt about hitting at all. But with Katie, I know, they bruise easy. But there you go. There's the reaction.
Right. Which, to a certain degree, I'm so surprised.
But the debate has moved on so far in 15 years where I hear on the radio things about female athletes now competing and going forward, proper arguments from scientists saying, actually, if we're going to blur the gender boundaries, which we have in terms of what we, how we use the pronouns and epithets and how we describe people, then there is an argument that actually there will be a leveling out in terms of, I mean, there are some arenas where women beat men already, which is in ultra distance running and things like that. And then we just don't know. We just don't know. I mean, there seem to be physiological advantages for certain things, and boxing would certainly be one of them. But
it's also, like we talked about before, she's fighting above her weight class, but it's possible to win fighting above your weight class. Like, you can be Sugar Ray Leonard and beat a heavyweight if you're just better at it than he
and
is.
And if you're a heavyweight, there is no weight class because you get a 16 stone, sorry, old money. I don't know how you guys, you pounds, right? Lots of pounds. In heavyweight class, you can fight someone who's literally 40 pounds heavier than you are, but your advantage is that you can move. Tyson Fury against almost anyone else.
This scene here, I'm bringing it up because it might be my frack down.
Really? It's not in the broadcast cut.
It's not in the broadcast cut. Okay, so my frack down is not in the broadcast cut.
But that's fine.
We'll tell you what a frack down is.
Yeah, please.
When we get to the end.
Pardon me.
But I love this. This is a long episode. I think you guys are all like going, oh my God.
It's still going.
10 minutes on. Oh. But the history between Ty and Kara.
Because they're both.
Has been so rife, right? All along.
Yeah, she's.
And that she just comes out. She sits down beside him and he's like, you know, the way to avoid a hangover is to keep drinking. And she takes a swig of his bottle. And she's just out with it. She just says, I slept with Lee last night. Like, the fact that she chooses Ty to.
Of all people,
to open up to, who could very well decide to use it against her because he.
Can we do spoilers?
Spoil away.
They're both silenced.
None.
She's an angel.
Well, whatever she is. I'm like, huh? Oh, yeah, she's not a silent. She was kind of a silent then. She died and then wasn't dead.
Yeah, gets weird.
That, yeah, definitely. I mean, she's cause definitely, for suspect.
She's the middle ground. She is the hermaphrodite between the Cylons and the humans.
No, she's just a strong woman.
Mm. No, but she has a silent.
Yeah, there's a coming up in some episodes. There's whole stuff going on. But I found that and I enjoyed that scene between them, and I'll explain why when we get to the frackdowns.
Cool. Yeah, I forgot.
Fair enough.
Although we could probably start talking about the frackdowns because it's
go for it.
Yeah, sweep the leg. Ooh, she sweeps the leg.
That was tight. Oh, and then she goes
so
again.
Ahead of her time, see? Ahead of her time. She's doing MMA.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're kicking each other.
UFC, MMA? Ultimate UFC Ultimate Fighting Championship.
Poor Lee Adama. Yeah, he looks so happy. He's like, hey man, I got everything I ever wanted. So really? Because I heard some shit.
Yeah.
That girl you're so happy about, she just got married to another dude.
And this was like icky for me because it was like, they're just, it's not like they went and washed up.
Trisha.
I mean, no, they still got each other's smells on them and everything. And then she goes and marries Anders when she's smelling of Lee. And he goes and kisses Dwala.
Yeah, but he was hungover, so he wouldn't know.
He wouldn't know, you're right. Dwala probably does, though. Dwala probably smelt. Smelt?
Yes.
Smelt?
Smelt? Like, why do you smell like sex? I don't know.
I don't
know.
Because,
why is there sand in your butt crack?
Yeah.
Can you repeat that? Eddie, why is there sand in your butt crack?
I brought it home for you, honey. I know how much you like sand.
You did go home last night to pack on the Galactica to be transferred over to the Pegasus.
So
right?
I got you some sand as a parting gift.
Yeah. Oh, no. It's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking.
It really is. It really is.
And your face, you look so sad. It's heartbreaking for all involved. The only person I don't feel sorry for some reason, is Kara.
No, because she did it.
She did
it. It's your fault. Everybody else in the scene doesn't know. Like, one dude kind of knows what happened to him. The other dude doesn't know what's coming down the pike.
I'm on the other side. I'm like looking at her going, no, it's a gift. She knows it's for the best. It's a gift. It's very important.
But then at the end of your guys' fight in the boxing ring, she says again, when you guys are hugging each other,
she
says, now we've just got more complicated again.
Well, she knows.
Not in the broadcast.
She knows
not in the broadcast, but we're doing the extended cut, Mark.
I know. No, I'm just saying.
But, you know, she knows what she's done. She knows the truth, and she's tried to make it simple.
So but, I guess it's these moments that Ron wanted in there, right?
Complicated is complicated, and simple is simple. She's tried to simplify it. But, you know, she's only human.
I mean, but...
As you just said, she was not human.
Well,
I mean,
she's half. She's
like, I do sort of I
she's
agree
only half
with you.
Human.
She just put you down.
Well, she kicked me a few times.
I mean, I think she is doing...
Those are bruises. You know those are bruises.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And she would have not been happy about those bruises.
Yeah, you get dinged up when you're doing those kind of scenes. Yeah, I've never done boxing, but I've done fight. Like,
Yeah.
Oh, the leg's out.
Okay. Oh, no.
That's not legal.
No, it's not, but... What are you going to do? It's like when you hold your kid brother down who's like got the rage and you're just containing so you can laugh in their face. And that makes them even angrier. And that's the whole point.
Yeah, that happened to me once. My older sister was holding me down on the couch and I was screaming bloody murder. And then my parents drove in the driveway and so she let me up. But she couldn't lie. We couldn't lie and say we weren't fighting or anything because I had broke all the capillaries in my face. So I had all these purple dots from screaming and her holding me down.
Wow.
I got believed.
Yes,
she got in trouble.
You got believed.
The youngest always gets believed.
Okay, so we've got, I was going to say we're going to do our frack downs, but Anders comes in, Dwala's watching.
They realize what's going on.
They realize what's going on. And,
it's really well intercut, like massively. The whole thing is.
Yeah, like it is so tricky because you're going in and out of POV, like various characters' POV. Sometimes you're in Ty's POV, sometimes you're in Lee's POV, sometimes you're in Dwala's POV, but it somehow still tracks. Like you can follow the story and the emotional beats of the story. And that is all editorial. That is, I would bet dollars to donuts, much of that is not on the page. It's like we got on the editing bay and we just felt the rhythm of it. And here's how we can tell the story. And it disobeys a half dozen rules of storytelling.
But we always did. We always crossed the line. The number of times I said we get to cross the line on this show, they didn't care. And I think, it was on the page in the sense that they were always intercut. But the cut points in Battlestar were, that's the same for any episode. They can move. And our episodes always ran long, like really long. Like really long, every single one.
Well, this one's about 25 minutes long.
Well, this is when they unleashed the beast.
Yes.
But it wouldn't have been that long.
This scene is heartbreaking for me, though, because you've asked her to marry you and she...
tells me that she'd really rather marry my dad.
But she does, you know, at first you think she's going to say no because she understands that Kara just got married and that's what's prompting this. And then you're like, but she says, yes, I'll marry you. She goes, we don't know how many more days we have left and I love you and I'm going to be there and, you know, support you and whatever it is that she says exactly. And then she's like, until, I don't know.
Kara, she's
Thrace
comes back.
Yes. Yeah. And she goes, until the Cylons come back or I die or whatever it is. And then, or Kara Thrace.
Yeah.
Like basically takes you away from me. And you're just like, so she's so good.
Yeah, but that was that's what makes me go, no, that's never going to happen.
Loved filming this episode.
What can I say? It was tough. It was tough.
I don't remember you telling me about this one.
Yeah, beat up kiss, beat up kiss, beat up kiss.
Another woman, another one.
It's very physically taxing.
What do they say? The love scenes should be fight scenes and the fight scenes should be love scenes. Well, you know, Bob Young knew that.
It's all one and the same. Yeah, I just love that it's...
There's still people watching, though. Everyone's meant to come back to work.
Yeah, like, the dance is over. Why are you all still here?
We're on the hangar deck. They're meant to be working. Like, dude, are you... Really?
You guys are barely standing. You're both barely standing, yeah. And you end up just, like, hugging each other and just, like...
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically a Rocky movie, yeah. Where it's like you and Apollo Creed are just declaring your love for each other.
Or... Who was the Dolph Lundgren character? If he
Even
dies,
Drago.
He dies.
I must break you.
I will break you. Doing this for the children of America. Oh, no, that's Rambo.
It is Rambo.
That's Rambo. Very different cultural movies. I mean, maybe similar.
Yeah, a little bit. Rocky Balboa ends, he causes glasnost to happen.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. See the things you haven't gleaned by not watching all the Rocky movies, Trisha?
I know. We got into that last podcast that really? I haven't seen the Rocky movies.
There's a fake ESPN 30 for 30
they
about
don't look
that
happy.
Fight.
Anders and Dwala are not happy with this.
No. Anders leaves. He's the one that leaves. And Dwala just soaks it all in.
Well, because I think she had been lying to herself for a long time that this was a relationship that had like legs and was built on something. And this is the truth that's laying lies to that lie is no, this was always a thing happening. It was always underneath everything that we tried to build is he loves her.
It's hard to talk with a gum shield in. And it's really hard to contain the dribble that's when you do talk. This is what I'm learning.
ADR city.
See, as an actor, it's very important to watch yourself because you learn vital lessons like that. That's why Eddie took the gum shield out. Have you seen when Eddie took gum shield out? Old pro. Done it before, hanging here. Not me. I'm dribbling.
You're talking with
with a gum shield. Which I used to do as a rugby player, and I used to take it out. But for some reason, you start acting.
You forget those.
Oh.
Yeah, the broadcast cut ends with just him saying,
we were standing up.
I missed you. And she says, I missed you too. And then it cuts.
Nobody, so it doesn't say this got more complicated.
We ended on the floor.
On the floor.
Very good. I'm extremely proud.
As well you should be.
Yes, it's a fantastic episode. It, from a lot of the Twitter response.
You just said several times.
I mean, I just watched it yesterday and today. A lot of the Twitter response from fans saying, oh, I want Unfinished Business and da-da-da-da. It's a big favorite episode of a lot of people.
It is routinely in the top five of any ranking of Battlestar.
Yeah. Wow, cool.
It's like
33,
Exodus 2, and then Unforgiven.
Is 33 the best?
33 is the best.
Usually, I think that's the first. Yeah, that's the one.
I think it's so tight. But anyway, go on.
It is frustrating to have to live in a world where 33 exists as the first episode of a TV show.
It's very difficult. We all knew it when we were filming it. Huh? What are we going to do next? That's the question. But none of us had red water.
Yeah,
I don't know.
But like,
so what are the other favorite ones? Tell me.
Exodus Part 2.
Exodus 2.
Which is, well...
That Galactica saves Pegasus and Galactica save...
And Pegasus. Okay. Yeah, Galactica
Caprica.
Comes in, drops into the atmosphere.
No, fourth episode of season three.
So season three is like the best season.
Yeah, the tail end. And I think the Pegasus two-parter.
Yeah, the Pegasus
slides in there.
Season two.
That's yeah. midway through season
right.
two. Yeah.
That's Admiral Kane okay. and all that stuff.
Okay. And Gina.
And Gina.
yes, poor Gina. For human traffic.
Poor Gina.
No.
Sadly, what doesn't ever make the top five is Black Market.
Yes.
No, I know. don't worry.
Usually makes the bottom.
The bottom bottom.
I know. It was my episode.
It was. Oh. I know. I felt so bad for you.
You're in every episode a lot. I mean, you're Apollo. But that was
my story. And I remember it going, this isn't very good. Why have I got the one that is not very good? I was paranoid about it.
Mm. Before we do our frack downs, I did want to say one thing because it brought up the Twitter followers.
You
forgot to do the poll when we aired Exodus part mm-hmm. one or two when Ty kills Ellen. Mm-hmm. Is that part two?
Two,
yes. And I was reminded when people said, well, I couldn't find the poll anywhere. But the question was, because we had debated it, if Ellen knew that the drink was poisoned. And from what I have read, I said I think she did. Mm-hmm. And
I said I think she didn't.
Right. And so everything that I have seen so far, the majority have said that they thought she knew. Do you guys have an idea?
What season is this?
Third.
Third season.
When Ty poisons Ellen because she has given up information to the Cylons.
No, she, in my opinion, definitely didn't know. I think that was Ty saving his whole. Well, having to make a horrible sacrifice to save the fleet. And I think you can do it with hindsight, knowing that she's a Cylon, but Ron didn't know she was a Cylon at that point. Nobody did, to be honest. Mm. Had she known she was a Cylon, maybe, you know, who the hell knows what she would do, because it's not final, is it? But no. Mm-hmm. I think in the drama of the moment, he was killing his wife for sure, and she didn't know.
I agree.
That's my opinion.
I always thought she did know.
I concur.
Well.
So y'all is wrong.
Y'all's wrong. Well, 90% of the fans that have written in
Well, because they like to think a lot, and they like to sort of, but the, you know, the reality of making a TV show is we don't know who the character is going to end up being, and the fans do. Mm. And they go back and you watch it again, but the writers don't do that in the, it's simpler than it may seem, I think.
Now, when we see Ellen again, if she says something about I knew, we're all screwed.
We're all fucked.
She doesn't remember anyway.
No.
I remember that so well.
It's a long time ago.
We're all making up as we go.
Yes. Okay, so we've kept you guys long enough. We will do the frack downs.
Yes, do the frack downs.
So the frack down of the week is, in this episode, frack down can be good or bad. It can be something that it just made you like tweak and like, I caught that and I didn't really like it. Or something that is your, like you loved it, stood out for you. And that's our frack down of the week. So
yes,
we've got extra guests. So everybody has to think of one.
Yeah. Oh, so we all have to think of one. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll start.
You go first. What you got?
My frack down of the week is actually Kara telling Ty mm-hmm. and Ty's laughter. His laughter, this innocent, not innocent, that's not the right word, this moment between them, and his laughter and her looking at him first like, I'm going to fucking kill you, and then her realizing what he's, you know, and just her kind of accepting that scene, but his laughter and then the coming to turn, like the coming together of these two at odds characters. I just like that scene.
Yeah. Mine is... It's Bill Adama and Laura Roslin out in the prairie getting high. And when she tells him, like, maybe we should enjoy this. Enjoy being here on this planet for as long as it lasts. Maybe the Cylons come back, maybe they don't. But right now, we caught a break. Just that idea of finding that moment of grace, knowing that chaos could be on the horizon, chaos is in the rearview mirror. But right now, in this place, we can be everything we kind of want to be. I think it's just beautiful. And I think that entire, it's like three scenes of just those two characters, but it's this lovely little just runner of intimacy and bonding. And
I think that's also when she says she wants a cabin.
Yeah.
That's the first time she mentions a cabin, yeah. Building a cabin.
Cabin or a place. Just
I would agree with you. It's mine also. That was the turning point of Adama and Roslin. I think that's where he really, he looks at her completely in another way. course, he's high. That always helps, you know. He's hired a kite sitting there looking at him going, wow, I really like you.
But like, and that's
but he doesn't tell her that, you know. And but you could feel it. You could feel it. That's when people really started to say to themselves, I really want to see them get together.
And the scene when
because we were so, oof.
Yeah, when he's rubbing his toes in the sand and she comes up. She had never been shot more beautiful than in that scene. She's wearing like this deep magenta, which highlights her hair. And it's...
She did look gorgeous.
Right? Yeah, like it's just... It found a way to make her look as Laura Roslin as humanly possible. Like, of course he's in love with her. Why would he not be in love with
and
her?
And he was rubbing what in the sand?
His feet.
Oh, feet.
Piggies in the sand. I mean, I don't know if the extended cut had more than I saw.
He was just rubbing the tips.
Just the tips.
Just the tip.
That's all you need.
That's all you need. All good. Of his feet.
Two more frack downs to go.
Oh, no. You were talking too much. I didn't get to watch the episode. My frackdown is that I forgot to take antihistamines before coming into a house with 20,000 cats.
Oh, there's Claritin right there.
Oh, no.
My eyes are itching. I can't see.
I was you 2 hours ago. The first two episodes of this podcast were recorded, and I didn't quite know how many cats Trisha had. And so you can just sort of hear me because I'm just barely keeping it together.
Now I greet him with a Claritin and a glass of water on the deck.
Coming
island.
In the door just so I don't die.
Sorry, my fright down is just seeing Aaron Douglas smile. The chief never smiles. He hasn't got a lot to smile about.
No.
Loved the Cylon. She was taken from him. Brought back another fella sleeping with the Cylon on a daily basis in his face. And then the Admiral says, I want to punch you, and he's happy. So that was cool. And then he cold cocks him. And he's not happy anymore, and he's back to being the chief. And that's your whole journey of the whole show. You've enough happiness. Enough happiness.
Keeping them on their toes.
Yeah.
Yes.
To save their lives.
And right. That all works all silent. Yeah. And I didn't have any
I just, I really there. Appreciate... the work of Bob, who came in, was his first episode.
And how old is Bob now?
Well, now he's 95.
And he was then?
85. Minus, no, wow. 83. Minus 50. Yeah. 82, 83.
Yeah, incredible.
15 years ago.
Yeah. And it's muscular. Like, it's just, it is nothing but energy and like brio happening all at once. The camera's always moving. It's always probing. Like,
well, he always knew what he wanted, right? And I remember working with Bob. He was so lovely. And then, but he would nap at Video Village in between and setups. But he knew what he wanted, right? So he would have everything, like everybody knew what to do, right? And he was so involved when he was in. And then when he could take a power nap, he took a power nap. And it was awesome. I wish I could nap.
Let me know when the lights are right.
Yeah, when the lights are right, wake me up.
I remember when we talked about getting him in, because everybody that was working on the show was very hip and very young and, you know, the best of the young new directors. Many of them had never even worked before, as this was some of their first times working.
We just heard that from David last podcast. Sergio. Was Sergio mimicking
Sergio
his own, this was
his first gig, and he did brilliant work. He had, of course, he had been Steven Spielberg's first AD
right.
for, I don't know, 15 years or something. So he was ready. But Bob really changed the course of the way we saw this film, the show. It changed it. And the way we used our cameras and everything, even the camera guys got more intense from that moment on. The moving story is. That's it.
That's all he cared about.
Wow. Yeah.
And as a director, you know, he doesn't care about having cool shots. It's just stick it where it's happening.
and you could see it.
You can see it. And it works, because you're never going to have anything that doesn't work, because the camera's always looking at what's meant to be looking.
What's happening. Yeah.
And the cutting was just superb.
Yeah, that was well edited. Trisha didn't agree. She found too much.
This was the extended cut.
The uncut cut. Which one is Measure of Salvation? Is that the one after this?
Two before this.
Because that was directed by a man called Bill Eagles, who I've just spent the last 2 years
working. Really?
Yeah. And hadn't seen him since.
He only did one show.
Yeah. And he has since informed me it was in a very difficult part of his life, and he was going through a lot of change, and he was out here, and he's a Brit. anyway, I've just been working with him nonstop.
But, on Strike Back?
Yeah, on Strike Back. And he's a very cool guy, really good director of complicated sequences, action and stuff. But I need to watch Measure of Salvation again because we've talked about it and I can't really remember what it was about.
Yeah.
What was it about?
That is about the decision whether or not to kill genocide.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Culling.
Culling. Sorry. Yes.
Culling.
Indeed. Eradication.
Yes. Indeed. Thinning out the numbers. Yes.
Thinning out.
Matthew, right? That's Matthew Culling? No. What? Who played, what did Matthew play?
Matthew Bennett.
Yeah.
Oh, Doral.
Doral. Yeah. Anyway.
So as we're wrapping this up, is there anything that you want to promote before we like?
Where can the people find you out in the world?
Oh, actually, Strike Back premieres next week here on Valentine's Day. It's a perfect date.
Oh yeah,
if you're not going out on a Friday night, and you like special forces and you know some tough action and a bit of camaraderie, it's the perfect date.
I was a big fan of the first couple of series of Strike Back.
Well, I wasn't in those.
No, I will extol its virtues as pulp. At least the versions that I saw.
Pulp. It's absolute pulp. And it's great fun to make.
It really is. And like we just don't have enough of that on TV anymore. So I just relish what's happening
it's
now.
It's our final season. So we start on Valentine's Day.
Outstanding. Is that on Cinemax?
On Cinemax, yeah.
Fantastic. Lovely. I'll be watching. I'll be home.
Are you on the Twitters and the Instagrams? Where can the people find you? You'll be home.
I will.
They can find me in a red BMW. I am on Twitter and Instagram, but I very rarely do anything on it. So
fair enough.
But your fan base does a lot.
They're awesome, and they get the good stuff, and they show it there. And occasionally, I ride the wave, but I'm in a red BMW.
Fair enough.
Driving around LA going from like trying to get a job.
Eddie, I know that you are active on the internets. What are you working on now? Are you still on Mayans?
Yeah, the third season starts up. We start filming in April. And like I always say, don't watch it if you haven't seen Sons of Anarchy and that kind of
you're selling the hell
darkness.
Out of it.
I'm getting deja vu here almost.
I know. Don't watch.
Actually,
this
don't
program.
Watch Strike Back either. It's terrible. It works for you. Yeah, honestly, it's too good for you.
Too good.
You won't understand it. Plot's tricky.
It's above your pay grade, buddy.
But Mayans I show just Mayans is just
terrible.
Too dark.
Too dark.
Yeah, you have to get ready for it.
Okay.
It's not a. It's not love and peace and harmony.
No, no, we're Strike Back, dude. No, 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 it's war.
They promised there's going to be more humor this third season.
Well, just smile while you're killing people.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Well, thank you guys for joining in this extended cut.
I'm sorry my entourage came with me, but you know, it's how it happens.
No. The more the merrier.
Indeed.
And thank you to our friends at Sci-Fi Wire.
Yeah.
For putting up with us, and to Bear McCreary
for his amazing theme song.
Oh wow! Yes. And the Gwilym pipes.
Oh, man, alive!
Gwilym pipes.
It was kind of ridiculous in which we asked him.
Drums and Gwilym pipes. Who knew that they would be a match made in heaven?
We were like, hey, Bear, do you have like anything lying around Battlestar-y that we can use as a theme for the podcast? He's like, well, give me a day. And he just gives us this brand new piece of music.
Oh,
that
it
sounds
is new.
It's
amazing.
Brand new. Oh, you're trying to kill me. Oh, I know.
I've got to get a picture of this. And thank you to Brett.
Yes, thank you, Brett Bone, for being our man on the ones and twos. And thank you to Jamie Bamber, Edward James Olmos. Everybody for coming everybody. To play. This is amazing. So
thank
happy.
You. Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Yay!
Real treat.
We'll see you soon.
Over and out.